It's raining incredibly hard on this train ECU unit. It's 5 to 6 inches of water an hour, actually. Apparently this room also does icy rain, but I'm definitely not sticking around for that. I'm completely soaked, but this machine doesn't seem to be slowing down at all. Clearly, it's hard to stop a train.
During the Train Unstoppable event, now through May 31st, buy a qualifying train system from Pittman Heating and Air and choose special financing for 48 months or up to a $1,000 trade-in allowance on a qualifying new train system. Visit PittmanAC.com or call 864-606-3769 for complete program eligibility, dates, details, and restrictions. That's PittmanAC.com, subject to credit approval. License number M1646.
Train, the most reliable heating and cooling brand.
Okay, kids, who wants some chocolate-dipped fruit from Edible Arrangements?
I do.
Honey?
Looking for a perfect addition to your Easter gathering? There's no sweeter way to celebrate than with spring chicks and swizzleberries from Edible Arrangements. Adorable pineapple chicks, hand-dipped in gourmet chocolate, paired with chocolate-covered strawberries, topped with a festive yellow, pink, or blue swizzle. Easter made sweeter at Edible Arrangements. Visit edible.com or your local Edible Arrangements store today.
More, please.
Dad!
Here's another valuable secret from Arm & Hammer.
I'm Marlise from Parsippany, New Jersey. I have hundreds of uses for Arm & Hammer baking soda. It helps me with stains. It helps me with absorbing odors in the refrigerator. It's a terrific value.
Arm & Hammer baking soda works everywhere, cleaning and deodorizing your home all for about a dollar. For maximum fridge freshness, remember to change the box.
Mr. Arm & Hammer, I want to tell you, don't ever change your product. It's incredible. It's amazing. It's a little box of magic.
Save more, waste less with Arm & Hammer.
Tool that doesn't miss a thing. You got it to come strong. If you come at all, you better come strong. Get out of my way. Gonna come and shine. Tell you what I got. Road rage. Nothing you can do. You're gonna get into road rage. Road rage.
Welcome to the Road Rage. We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar. We are back. Let me tell you about Aqua Pool Care, family owned by Richard Bishop, over 35 years in the biz. Grandfather and father built pools. He personally goes on every project, so he knows the pitfalls you may encounter. He knows what to expect during construction. If you've been thinking about an in-ground pool, now's the time to call Aqua Pool Care. Richard and his wife, Tracy, will take all the guesswork out of the process. They offer this amazing 3D CAD technology so you can build and see your pool come to life right before your eyes. You can make any changes you want. You can create your pool in almost live imagery right before your eyes. So you know exactly what your pool will look like when you agree to the final product. Look, maybe you just need a new liner installed. Aqua Pool Care can do that quickly and affordably. They also do pool maintenance, so you can just kick back and enjoy. And Aqua Pool Care is a warranty center for Hayward, Pentair, and Polaris products. Look, once your beautiful pool is built with Aqua Pool Care, you will always be there to answer any questions you have. Look, if you've experienced buying a pool in the past and come away dissatisfied with the company you use because of their lack of responsiveness, I can assure you that Richard and Tracy will always answer your call. They answer every single call. So they'll return your call, and they, if you have any issue, they will take care of it immediately. That's Aqua Pool Care. Now's the time to call Aqua Pool Care. 508-1885, 508-1885, or check out their great reviews online at aquapoolcarellc.com, or stop by the store at 1037 Whitehall Road in Anderson and grab some chemicals or whatever pool accessory you need. A few news items, some out of the NFL in the rules committee. First of all, Seth Wickersham tweeted this. Today, NFL owners will vote to increase the debt limit for the Rams' new stadium, which, according to internal league documents, is now projected to cost an amazing $4.963 billion with a B dollars.
Wow.
You know, let me tell you something else. The Rams and Chargers will be playing in the same place. And both those teams have made significant improvements. The Rams have really upgraded their secondary and then added Ndamukong Suh. That defense should be unbelievable. Tlaib, Marcus Peters, Ndamukong Suh. That defense should be incredible. The Rams are becoming a serious Super Bowl threat as early as this coming season. And meanwhile, the Chargers started their season 0-4, finished 9-7, and were probably the best team in that division the second half of the year. And Kansas City has some defensive issues. Obviously, they're loaded offensively. The Raiders have a new coach and certainly have defensive issues. Denver has a new quarterback that is trying to find themselves. Are the San Diego Chargers not the favorite in that division, the AFC West, next year? And if so, is it impossible that those two teams playing the same place could face off in an upcoming Super Bowl? I would say it is. I had that thought coming in here today. Doug Peterson, according to Adam Schefter, told ESPN's Sal Palantonio that it's now safe to say that Nick Foles will be with Philadelphia for the start of the 2018 season. Of course, that's because Carson Wentz is not going to be available for OTAs. So his progress in recovery, although we've seen videos of him running and throwing, his progress may not be as quick as some had hoped for. So now Peterson suggesting or stating that Nick Foles will certainly be with Philadelphia for the start of the season. I don't think that's surprising. Then there's this new NFL rule. It is a foul now if a player lowers his head to imitate and make contact. Imitate? Is that supposed to be initiate? I'm going to guess that's supposed to be initiate, even though it says imitate. I'm going to guess that's supposed to say initiate. So we'll go with initiate. It is a foul if a player lowers his head to initiate and make contact with his helmet against an opponent. Player may be disqualified. Not targeting, per se, but strengthening of rule on hits with helmet. Oh, that's not targeting? See, this is an issue of semantics. It's clearly the exact same thing. If a player lowers his head to make contact, it is that player may be disqualified. Therefore, ergo, it is targeting. You can call it anything you want, but it is a type of targeting. Right? Rich McKay, according to Adam Schefter, said that helmet-to-helmet hits have increased over the past 3 years. The NFL is trying to change that in the way the game is played at all levels. They don't want the helmet used as a weapon. So that's perhaps not so surprising. Then there were two others. The league did not change the pass interference penalty. They kept it at 15 yards. There was some pushback against it, even though that the agenda of making that a 15-yard penalty, I think, certainly moved forward. But it died in the process. And so the NFL will stick to their formula of a spot foul. So you can still chuck it 50 yards down the field at the end of the game. And if a DB holds while the ball is in the air, i.e. pass interference versus defensive holding, then the ball will be a spot foul. I have never really cared for that. I have never cared for it because I don't, when there's no other penalty in the game that's more than 15 yards, I don't think there should be a way to get 50 yards by just chucking it down the field and having a DB inadvertently run into somebody. The problem with the rule, it seems, as it was being toyed with, was it seemed like there was a lot of impetus to go with the 15 yards, but the problem seemed to be in the empowering the officials to rule on a flagrant variety of pass interference. In other words, they still wanted to make an allowance for a DB who gets beaten badly and then just grabs the receiver to prevent a touchdown. They still wanted to make allowance for that. And it seems that some didn't want to give the officials more power in that regard to put more of the onus on decision-making on them. And that part I understand, because I don't want to do that either. I do think that at some point that rule is likely to be changed, because again, I don't think that there should be a 50-yard penalty unless it's flagrant and intentional, unless the receiver is totally beaten and the DB tackles him, at which point I can see making that a spot foul. I think eventually they'll adopt that, but they haven't now. Yeah, Tommy, we get that. That's what Dickie was saying. Tommy says, with Dickie's stats, Lowell's an 11 seed, which means they usually only play lower seed. No, it doesn't hurt his argument. No, Tommy, look, he was responding to something I said earlier. Tommy writes, also with Dickie's stats, Lowell's an 11 seed, which means usually only play lower seeds. Kind of hurts his argument because the one seed starts with a 16 in round one, but still impressive. No, I mean, it doesn't really hurt his argument. That's sort of the point of it. The high seeds always have the inherent advantage in seeding that make it so tough for a lower seed. Look, it's not just that the higher seeds are always the better teams. It's that they're given the advantage. They start out at the front of the race. You know, they get to play the lowest seeded teams in the tourney. And that certainly helps their case for progressing in the tournament, where the lower seeded teams, the high numbers, they don't have that luxury or advantage. And my point earlier was that Loyola, as an 11 seed, was actually advancing to the Final Four without having to face what was considered the top teams in the tournament. Of course, they did face one top team in that region, but they avoided a lot of the big names in that bracket in advancing. And Dickie's point was simply that from a seed standpoint, that the other teams there actually still faced an easier road. And they did. They did. So there was some truth to that. You know, I'm starting to think that Lamar Jackson may go higher in the draft than people imagine. And I'm also starting to think that a couple Alabama players might slip. I think Minka Fitzpatrick could slip. I thought Jalen Adams slipped last year when he fell to sixth to the Jets. And I think Adams is a better football player than Minka Fitzpatrick. You know, I think Fitzpatrick could slide in part based on the quarterbacks, in part based on some of these other names like Chubb and Barkley. And so I think he could slide some. You know, I know he's been consistently projected top four. It would not surprise me if he slides. But I'm going back to something I said at the combine, and the Alabama people on Twitter didn't like this at all. I think Calvin Ridley's going to slide. I think Calvin Ridley's sliding. I don't know how far. In part because the top receivers taken in last year's draft, three guys taken in the top 10, basically didn't do anything. You know, Mike Williams was injured, obviously, and John Ross was injured as well, and that's part of it. But nonetheless, three receivers taken in the top 10, none of those guys really produced on the field. We thought that Davis would be the best of that group, and he has been thus far. And I think he will be long term. But none of those guys made a big impact. And I think that the next year there's likely to be some slippage in terms of the wide receivers anyway. But I don't think this is an elite wide receiver group at the top. And Calvin Ridley, who's been consistently projected as a top 10 player, I don't think he's a top 10 player. I'm not sure he's a top 20 player. I'm not even 100% sure he's going to be the first receiver taken. How about that, Alabama fans? I'm not as in love with Ridley as the rest of the world is. I think he has somewhat pedestrian athleticism. I think he's smooth, but he's not a big body. He's relatively slight of build. He doesn't look like the type of receiver who comes into the NFL and makes an immediate impact. I mean, I actually like guys like DJ Moore of Maryland better. I like Dante Pettis better. I mean, and I think Pettis is a guy who could be taken at, you know, pick 60 or something of that sort. I'm not in love with Ridley. I'm not sure that Christian Kirk's not going to be a better player than Ridley. I think he is. I'm not sure that Deshaun Hamilton out of Penn State won't be a better receiver than Ridley. I think he might be. I think Calvin Ridley as a top 10, 11 player, that's not who he is in my mind. And the first teams that could take Ridley, I think, would be a team like Baltimore, who's been in constant search of receivers, although they just added one in free agency in Crabtree. I think the next team could be Dallas. And if Baltimore and Dallas don't take Ridley, then you could be talking the end of the first round. So I would not be surprised if two Alabama players, Fitzpatrick and Ridley, both slide in this draft. That would not surprise me in any way, shape, or form. But the guy I think who bears watching, you know, in this quarterback conversation now, I think is Lamar Jackson, because we obviously have the top group of quarterbacks, and I can tell you right now, despite what's been reported, that Cleveland is not at all certain who they're taking at one. I mean, there's even been suggestion from John Dorsey in the last 24, 48 hours that they may still trade out of one. I don't think, you know, I think people interpret that the wrong way. I think that's just Dorsey saying if somebody offers some, you know, absurd type of deal, some Herschel Walker type of deal, that they would listen. And I think they would listen. So I don't think that's Dorsey going down the same path that his predecessors have. I hope not. I think Cleveland understands that they're desperately in need of a quarterback. Tyler and Anderson wrote, where'd it go? It's fair to say Fitzpatrick could drop out of top 10. Oakland, Tampa, and Cleveland need safety. But the other teams with top 10 picks aren't in dire need for safety. Well, you know, again, it's what Fitzpatrick is. In college, Fitzpatrick was a nickel corner. You know, he played close to the line of scrimmage and basically played a safety's role. That's why we've had this talk of how he can play six positions. But there's really no evidence of that. He took 13 snaps as an outside corner in college. So if you think he's an outside corner, I think you're wrong. I don't mean you, Teller. But I mean, I think people who are thinking that way. I like Micah Fitzpatrick. I think he's a good football player, but I still think he could slide. I think he could slide, and I think Calvin Ridley could slide. I think both those guys have a chance to slide. Mr. Bill says, read some interesting tweets last night from Redskins beat reporters that says their draft intel believes Vita Vea will not be available at 13. Oakland at 10, he's asking. Yeah, maybe. Maybe even Tampa at 7, Mr. Bill. I mean, I still can't believe that Tampa or Oakland would go Vita Vea that early as a two-down player, but maybe they will. Maybe they will. But I think those are the spots, the potential landing spots for Vita Vea if he goes before the Redskins select. I mean, I look, I think your potential spots for Vita Vea are Tampa, Oakland, Redskins, Raiders, San Diego. And then from there down, there are a number of others. I mean, typically speaking, his type of player doesn't go till 25 or beyond. But I'm watching Lamar Jackson because I think there's some interesting movement in Lamar Jackson. And I think there may be some teams who value him more than they're letting on, and they're playing real coy about it. Listen, the weather's changing. Back and forth it's changing, but presumably spring is in the air. And with spring comes new plumbing concerns, new plumbing needs. Well, if you go to rotorooter.com, you can find all the guidance you need to take you through the process. And if you heed those tips, chances are you'll avoid any emergencies. If you don't and you procrastinate, chances are you'll be calling Roto-Rooter an emergency. The good news for you then is that 24/7, 365, Roto-Rooter is there to serve the entire upstate of South Carolina as well as North Carolina. So call my friends at Roto-Rooter for any plumbing issue you have. They're the masters at septic systems as well. They don't just clean the tank, they clean the lines. Roto-Rooter, call them. 288-7686, 288-7686, online at rotorooter.com. And remember, Roto-Rooter, that's the name, and away go troubles down the drain. I apologize, I can't answer any more of your draft questions. I have a bunch of them. Write me tomorrow, and with the same questions, I'll answer them at that time. Clemson baseball headed your way now. Wall tip to the Road Rage. I'll see you tomorrow.
Hendrick Honda, surrounded by colleges and universities, let Hendrick Honda Easily help you on the path to success with our first-time buyer and college graduate programs. At Hendrick Honda Easily, their sales team is fair, fast, easy, and transparent, here to help you buy your new or pre-owned Hendrick Honda Easily vehicle. Their on-site service department and extended customer service ensures your vehicle will get continuous support. Hendrick Honda Easily, in the heart of the upstate at 4609 Callan Memorial Highway and online at HendrickHondaSC.com. Again, that's HendrickHondaSC.com.
Howdy, folks. It's me, Colonel Sanders. My KFC $20 fill-up includes a whole bucket of delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken, two sides of mashed potatoes and gravy, coleslaw, and four flaky biscuits for just $20.